to ask you in front of other people. Do you know Jesus? Because you act different than the other people. It's coming. It's going to happen. Maybe you find yourself in a social setting and someone will say, hey, drink jy nie? Okay? It comes in different ways. It's the same question. We pick up that you know Him. It's coming your way. Prepare your heart. I was prepared, luckily. Started at Sports Science in Cape Town. Very first day. I didn't notice. I had my t-shirt on, my missions t-shirt, okay? And it said, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And that's the t-shirt I went to work the very first day because we didn't receive our kit yet. And so a Muslim guy asked me in front of everyone, are you religious? That was a moment. We get many of those. Peter had another one later in his life. They crucified him upside down. Because he said, I love Jesus more than anything. Get many of these moments. I said, I was a bit caught off guard. I said, I'm not sure what you mean about religion, but I really love Jesus. I got it out. By the end of that day, two people came to me in the group, said, can I come to your church? Where are you sitting down? Maybe you've messed it up in the past. It's okay. You know what happened to Peter? Go and read. He went back to Christ. He was scared. Christ said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes. Love you. Asked him three times to restore him, to do it three times like he got it wrong three times. Jesus said, I love you, but feed my sheep. Take care of the people. Tonight is saying the same to you. If you've missed it, it's okay. He loves you. Go feed God's people. Go sit down somewhere. And in that moment, you will experience fear. And if you buy into fear, your moment of ministry will be stolen. Amen? That's a first example. Check this out. This is scary. Who of you, okay, come on, be honest. Who of you have a soft spot for the movie The Lion King because you saw it when you were young? Come on, hands up. Come on, okay. Comes on. Who still cries when, you weet, yeah, Zandri, leg maar weer. But you know what's interesting about that movie? I'll figure out whether I'm weird. Okay, I know I am. I know that makes sense. But I'll figure out whether I'm weird or if it's all of us. Who of you, every time just before Mufasa dies, just hopes he makes it out of that valley? Just for a moment. Okay, yeah. It's like you know what's gonna happen, okay? Now for me, guess who's Mufasa in this story? Pilate. Three times he says, I find no mistake in this man. Let me just read it quickly. Man, this is heartbreaking. I get emotional when I read these things. And he said to them, you brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty. He says it more than once. Of any charges against him. Neither did Herod, because he sent, for those, just to refresh you, to bring Jesus to Pilate, wanting to kill him, the chief priest. He sends Jesus to Herod, because it falls under Herod's jurisdiction, and he just wants to get his hands off this. Herod finds nothing wrong, sends him back. Now he's back here. He says again, I find nothing wrong with this man. Look, nothing deserving of death has been done by this man. He says it. I will therefore punish and release him. There's his verdict. Okay? Why punish him? Maybe because there's an uproar. Okay? Jesus did nothing wrong, but let's give him the benefit of a doubt. There's an uproar. The whole city is upside down. There's this man. I want to hit him and send him away. All right? That would be sin because Jesus is sinless, but maybe then we understand the man. Are you with me? But they all cried out together. Another translation says, with a mighty roar. A mighty roar came from the crowd. And what did that mighty roar do in Pilate's heart? Wow. Fear. Overcame him with fear. And he gave Jesus to kill him. most brutal death for the most innocent man. Listen, Jesus was going to die on the cross that day. Let me just tell you that. Because he had to die for sins. If Pilate said, we're not going to kill him, they might have killed Jesus and Pilate next to him, but they were going to kill Jesus. But how much better would it be for this man if he was killed next to Jesus on the cross? Like one of the other two that was hanging there. What would Christ say to Pilate that day if Pilate died on a cross next to Jesus because the people turned the city upside down? What a man. We would say, I want to be like Pilate. Now we say, Lord, please. Not like him, not double-minded, not like this man. Because the crowd roared. They cried together. Where do you find yourself? Who's shouting at you? What's going to happen when the shout comes is you're going to experience fear. I pray you do well in those moments. I'm just giving you these two examples for you to get a grip on this. Now, here's what fear does. If we go to the next slide. Fear dislocates you from God. So let me just explain this. I heard this example. I thought this is really amazing. Imagine you are this arm. All right? And you love God. Let's just assume. We know Peter loved God and Pilate did not know him. All right? Fear comes to both of us. If you are Peter, what happened to Peter? He was there, he was still in the faith because Christ called him back, but he was like an arm that was disconnected. Okay? For Peter, his faith did not die, all right? It's not like the arm was cut off and thrown away, but it was dislocated. He did not minister. His ministry was proven empty when he sat down. That will become your life if fear reigns you. You'll be there, in church, every time when you're out there, dislocated arm. That's what fear does. And that's why it's so important. I'm not going to say too much about this, but I'm going to explain this dislocation a bit better later. Let me give you two more scriptures. I'm going to be very short today. I'm happy. At the end, I want us just to pray a bit through a few things. So I'm not going to talk too long. In Isaiah, we get two instructions around fear. Very interesting. Very interesting. Both of these, it almost, you know, catches you off guard because you think if someone is afraid, what you'd want to do is cover them. So, why didn't he also not cave this? But check this scripture out. This is very interesting. I am he who comforts you. Okay, so there's the comfort. Okay, vessels is lekker. Help it. Okay. I am he who comforts. You'll all hear your hug. Ek sê jou, né? Blessed is thy vrou. Blessed is thy vrou. I am he who comforts you. Now, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man? This is a confrontation. This is God. You're afraid. He's not helping right now. He's saying, who are you to be afraid? Have you seen my size? Do you know what I can do? Who are you to be afraid? Comes with a confrontation. What I like about this is it gives us a fresh look at the devastation that fear brings, that God would say, who are you to fear? You have no right to fear. I comfort you. Have you seen my size? Do you know what I can do? And I'm all around you. And I know about you and I'm going to uphold you. Why? That's why fear is a sin. You've got no right to fear. Every angle is covered by God. He's got everything in his hand. Isn't this amazing? Check the next one out. So it's interesting in a different way. In righteousness, you shall be established, all right? You shall be far from oppression. For, very important, those little words in the Bible, for, or because, or therefore. You shall be far from oppression. What is oppression? Apart Afrikaanse woorde? verdrukking, moeilike tye, okay? You'll be far from it. Why? Because you do not fear. Listen up. Fear gets you into trouble. Oppression will be far from you because you do not fear. What is the opposite? You fear, therefore you are oppressed. So sometimes we think, ek is bang want iets gebeur met my wat erg is. Let me tell you, it's the other way around. You first fear. And because you fear, you open up yourself to what? A spirit of fear. Is that spirit from God? No. What does that thing do? What does the enemy does? Kill, steal, and destroy. You welcome fear into your life. I'm not talking being bang for a moment. You're running from inbreker, okay? Okay. I'm talking about living with fears because of unforgiveness, bitterness, stuff that happened. You haven't prayed through it. You haven't spoken to someone about it. You're carrying these heavy things. If you make that fear a home, you will end up being oppressed. Can I give you one or two examples? Now, sometimes my examples are so bad. I'm sorry, guys. Because this is so deep. This reaches to the very depth of your eternity. And then I come up with basic stuff. But just see how this works on a basic platform. And then what you can do, you can translate it deeper for yourself. So you're afraid that your husband will leave you. Is that a legitimate fear? It is, right? At least for a moment. When you feel that, you must get to someone to pray with you. Fearing is not going to help. You should be delivered from your fear. But it came there because your dad acted in ways. And so your mom was afraid. And you are just the same. So I'm sorry you've been dealt a bad hand. But God says He makes all things new. Amen? Including you. So you are afraid, and you live with this. Now, this week, Danielle's husband and myself, for a week, are going away. Okay? Some rugby thing. But now there's a problem, because you fear what he will do that week. But you live with that fear constantly. Every time he leaves home, when his phone makes a sound, you have a fear. And so what do? You push your husband away from you. He who fears will end up in oppression. And so the very thing you feared start to happen as you push him away. And all he needs is to be trusted, to be embraced, to be brought near, is to be given a benefit of the doubt. But you see, fear is a killer. And so one day, hopefully it doesn't happen. This is a story, it's no one. One day he just can't handle it anymore and he's gone. Or he jumps off a building or whatever. And then you say, see? It was right that I fear, because look what happened to me. Fear did it. Can you see that? Another example, a man comes home. He's overwhelmed because all his friends have moved on. They all received a promotion. He's still an appy or whatever. They all have new cars, the beautiful cars, great houses, and he feels intimidated for what he brings to his house. So what does he do? He goes and takes all the credit cards he can get to buy a few stuff to look just like his friends. Why did he do it? It started with fear. She doesn't love me for who I am. And so what he does, he gets the whole family in trouble. One day the people come, they take everything they own. Everything. Fear will lead you into oppression. The moment you feel it, you must make war. And that's why I like that previous scripture. Can we just go to that previous one? You should handle fear like an enemy. And I've heard, it's not ladies, it's men as well. I've heard this pity party. It's become stylish. Yes, jy weet, ek sukkel mos met hierdie goed. Dis wie ek is. Everyone knows I'm the person who struggles and we make ourselves and we bind ourselves to fear. And we set ourselves up to end up in oppression. I've used a few examples, but with the two I just mentioned, but those are not the key ones. The key ones is you are disarmed to fulfill your calling. It's the greatest devastation Amen. Now, why? Why is fear so powerful? What is the thing around fear? Check this out. I'm going to read this to you again. 1 Timothy 1 verse 6. And hopefully you'll see this verse in this way for the rest of your life. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. There's something from God in you. All right. And it came through impartation, laying on of hands in this case. It came through hearing a sermon, being in small groups. Someone prayed to you. Something happened and now there's something in you. It's different. I see some faces here and I just know the last few months, a lot of people's lives has changed. There's a gift in you. It's God. But now, God did not give us a spirit of fear. Because what He's given you cannot flourish in fear. Why? Let me tell you something about Satan. We don't talk about him a lot because he's not the main guy here. But let me just say something. Satan is afraid. Why is he afraid? Because he's on his way to eternal judgment. If there's one thing he knows, it is fear. And that's why primarily, when it comes to demons and evil stuff, it always has a fear element. It's the one thing he knows. It's his home. It's his backyard. Fear, he's built out of cells of fear. He's terribly afraid of God. But there's one thing he cannot feel. What is that? Who wants to take a chance? Satan cannot feel this one thing. You've got it? Anyone else? Love. He does not have the ability to feel love. It is absolutely, it's out of it. It's in a different world. It's been removed. God is love. And Satan has been so far removed. He does not understand it. Is Katrine here? She's playing somewhere. The love Annie and Renier has for Katrine, Satan doesn't understand it. He's got no point of reference for love. Does not know it. Why is it so smart that God has given us a spirit of love to overcome fear? If He can get you to be afraid in your life, He gets you onto His playing field. He understands that field. Sometimes, you know, I played paintball once, right, on a bachelor's, and I was so mad because all the guys that played together, they were in one church. Actually, Josh Jen, the church that Carl is in. And they all made one team. And I thought that was very unnecessary because they all were dressed in like army stuff. You could see they played this game every week. But here's the thing. They knew the playing field. They knew exactly where to run. You come around the corner, bam. You look behind a tree from the top, bam. It's their playing field. And they like beat us 6 times in a row. And I like a good competition. So I was very mad. Can't someone see we need to mix these teams? Anyways, that was their home turf. They wiped us. When you make your home with fear, you are tickets. He knows it. Every corner. He doesn't always understand your emotions. But when you start to act, he sees, oh, it's working. It's working. And what it does is he disconnects you from God. But the opposite is also true. If you allow yourself to be loved by God, you come into His presence. You experience His love in your life. And you start to build confidence in God's love. He does not understand it. And so what happens to you in your spirit is you get to a higher platform than what He can operate from. He still tempts you, but you see everything. Because you're in a different spiritual atmosphere altogether. He cannot understand it. And so God gives us a spirit of love. What do you do to overcome your fear? You worship. You love Him. Before you Shandai, Lord, I break this thing and that thing, you love Him. You go on your knees, you say, Lord, just confirm your love to me. That's how you're going to break free. Does that make sense? Scripture also says that this those who are in the flesh cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Romans 8. Once you are on God's program, once you experience His love, you start to respond. For every evil spirit and for Satan himself cannot understand what's happening there. You are taken out of his realm into a higher place. So build yourself up in the Spirit. Open your heart for love. That's how you triumph over fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected. So who's the most afraid in this whole world of punishment? Satan. That's why he's so afraid. But we love because he first loved us. Let me tell you what the two things that freaked me out the most in my life. I was seriously afraid. Now this, now you're probably first going to laugh. The first thing that I was afraid of was to marry. To marriage name, because I was afraid of that kind of commitment. I was young, I was only 24. I was scared. Is this the right one? I was very afraid. I went on missions actually to Zimbabwe. Cornell was on that missions as well. And my heart went upside down because I've been going out with her about a year and a half at that time, and I knew it was time to make a decision. It's a long time to, have a girl waiting and then, leaving her nowhere. So I felt God saying it. I felt myself saying I must do something. And God was saying, but I couldn't hear because I was in fear. And I started to worship in that missions. And one day I was just worshiping God and I experienced his love. And as I was receiving his love, he said, you can marry that woman. She loves me. She'll love you as well. You see, God's love breaks the yoke. Not 20 conversations. God's love. Came back home, bought a ring, got engaged. I said, listen, the soonest we can arrange a wedding ceremony, we're getting married. 6 months after we were married. Started with connecting with God in love. Because love always triumphs over fear. Removes you from that fear of judgment. Put you on a higher platform and you can see. The other thing, most afraid of my whole life was coming to Secunda. I'm not kidding. I didn't know if my marriage was going to be able to survive it. I didn't know if my finances was going to survive it. I didn't know if physically my lungs was going to survive it. And I was sitting pretty. Pastor in Cape Town, living on the beach. I was double-minded. I was up and down, until one day I went to the mountain. I prayed and I cried. I'm shy to cry like that in front of people. I was alone. I just cried and cried. God said, what I have for you in Secunda is more beautiful than this mountains. Still a word for today. Why? God and I, we were connecting in love. I was just worshiping. Went back home and said, we're going. She said, no, she prayed. She felt the same. Do you have fear? You need to worship. You need to focus on God's love. You need to take that thing and put it aside and worship God. From His love, we move. Sometimes we make decisions out of fear. They never last. We make commitments out of fear. Never last. When it comes from love, it overcomes everything. I'm not talking about love in a weird sense like romantic comedies. I'm talking about the love of God. I'm talking about experiencing His love for you as you worship Him. Amen? Let's stand tonight.